and to be led by his nail-scarred hand than have anything that this world could stand to offer me. I'd rather have him than diamonds or gold. I'd rather have him than anything that this world stands to offer. There's a whole lot of beauty in this world. But the scripture teaches me that Jesus said to lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doeth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. The things of this world are tarnished, and they rust old, and they break down. But the things of God are eternal. And they endure. This flesh that I dwell in one day, after a while, it will die. And though I am not what you'd say ready to cross the river today, I enjoy living life. I enjoy being a part of my children's life. They are special to me. I enjoy being a part of my helpmate's life. But yet, on the same hand, if the Lord comes calling today, I'm ready. I am prepared to meet my Maker. And there's times that I look forward to that journey. You say, well, preacher, you're young. I am young, but I look forward to getting to meet him. I look forward to getting to be in his presence and to spend an eternity with him as we sing that song, as the ages roll on. There's a song that we sing, I'll get to my point in a minute, there's a song that we sing, 10,000 years will just be started. I can't even comprehend that in my feeble mind. When you begin to talk about an eternal God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he has no beginning and no end. And yet he says that we'll dwell with him forever eternally. My mind can't comprehend that. But that's what I believe. He says there'll be no more dying. There'll be no more wars. There'll be no more sickness. But we'll be with him forever. That means something to me. Knowing I find comfort in that, that the things of this world, even though there's challenges and there's hardships, there's a peace and understanding that there's somebody who's leading me along. I'm not merely out here on my own. We talk about how we can't even walk without him holding our hand. Can you imagine life most miserable? Trying to walk through this world without knowing a risen Savior. I'll be honest with you this morning. I'm weak. But I'm thankful when I'm weak, he's strong. I'm weak. And I need the Lord's help. The brother was talking about this morning, Brother Mike made mention, he said that the Lord said over there in the 16th chapter of John, he said, he told his disciples, he said, it's expedient that I go away. He said that the Comforter might come, my friend, even though Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, He couldn't be everywhere all at one time. But I'm thankful to know that the comfort of the Spirit of God can be everywhere this morning. Everywhere this morning. He can be everywhere. He can be here. He can be at every respected church this morning. I'm prayerful this morning that the Spirit might come in and settle in the midst of this service. Anything on your heart this morning before we change course of the service? Anything? I encourage you this morning, if you're here and lost, you've never been saved, I encourage you this morning to seek God until you find Him precious to your soul. This morning our thought is bearing the cross. And I've got a few thoughts this morning that I want to try to bring out, and with the Lord being our help, I want to look over here in the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. The 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. Several of us are familiar with this man who is mentioned a few times throughout the Scripture. But this morning, I've been thinking about this for some time and really studying upon this word for just a little while. And this morning, I want you to understand a few things about our Lord and what He did for me and for you. And I want you to know this morning that is God's people and the disciples that He has set aside that we might continue His work, that He's called us to labor and to work and to pick up the cross. And this morning I pray that we continue to look at the cross. I want to look here in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, as we said before. And he says in the 26th verse, he said, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, and of a woman, which also bewailed and lamentated. And Jesus turning unto them, saying, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves, and for your children, for behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And I want to stop there for just a moment, and really our thought there in the 26th verse, it says, "And when they led him away, they led him up to one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus." And this morning I began to think a lot about that and began to think about the cross and Calvary. And like I said, I've thought a lot about these things, and I have always heard different opinions based upon this. If you go back in the different aspects of the gospel in Matthew and Mark, it gives a little bit different version of this. It talks about how Simon was compelled to bear the cross, that he was compelled to bear the cross of Christ. And yet, even as you go into the Gospel of John, you read over there, it says that, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, and they crucified him, and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst." And it says there in the Gospel of John that he bear his cross. And this morning I want you to understand as we look over here, and I'll just bear with me for a moment, in the Gospel of Luke, and do pray for us. In the 9th chapter, he's talking to his disciples here before the transfiguration, and he says, "He said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me."
And this morning, I want you to know and understand, first and foremost, before you can take up the cross, my friend, you've got to look to the cross. I want you to know this morning, before you can start your labor and your work and honoring God, you've got to know and have come to the foot of the cross, realizing who it is that hung there for the world. I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And He came into this world, born of a virgin mother. My friend, and the Holy Ghost came upon her and she did conceive a child. My friend, I want you to know this morning that He was born a perfect birth. He did not come from the sin of Adam as me and you did. David said, in my mother's womb, was I conceived in. So I'm going to mess that up. Let me just read that. Psalms in 51. I read this maybe last weekend, but I want to read this again. Because I'll mess it up. He said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." This morning, I want you to know that Jesus did not come from the same sin that me and you did. We were born after the seed of Adam. Jesus Christ did not come from that seed. I want you to know He was perfect in every aspect. I want you to know this morning that He came and lived in this world among men. That He was tempted in the flesh just as me and you are. The Bible says there that He was led up into the mountain and He was tempted by the devil. The Bible says that He was there for 40 days and 40 nights and He was tempted by the devil. I want you to know this morning that when we begin to think about the things of Jesus, everything that He went through, I want you to know this morning that not only has He come there, my friend, if you go on a little bit later on and read through the Transfiguration, it says that His face was turned towards Jerusalem. He knew what was ahead of Him. He knew what lay before Him. But my friend, I want you to know that He was willing to go for me and for you. He was willing to go. And yet, as He made that trip, they had a mock trial. Rushed hurriedly through it. Didn't even give Him the proper trial that He yet, my friend, that most people would have been accredited to. They give Him a mock trial. And they took Him and they whipped Him. And they scourged Him. And they placed upon His head a crown of thorns. And not only do I believe they placed them upon His head, but honey, I believe they marred them down on His head. Jesus went through all of these things. And yet He continued toward the cross. And as He began His trip up to Golgotha, or Calvary as we might say, they took a cross and they laid it upon His shoulder. I believe. And He made His way up Calvary. Now, my friend, I want you to understand the condition that He was in physically. I'm talking about your Lord and your Savior, the one you're trusting in this morning. They had beat Him and whipped Him beyond resignation. Scourged Him to the point that they pulled flesh from His back. I believe as they had Him tied up there, as history might tell us, or had Him up against that whipping post, not only did they rip the flesh from His back, but honey, it whipped around Him. He endured all of those things. And yet, even as He endured those things in His physical condition, He took the cross. And he started towards Golgotha, towards Calvary. And it says, as they led him away, they laid upon him one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of a far country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after him. And boy, I began to think about that, and I have through the years. I thought about how it is that Jesus here, I'm telling you this morning, he's my best friend. He's the one that saved us. I thought, how is it that Jesus, being the Son of God, wasn't able to bear the cross the whole way? My friend, I want you to know this morning right where I stand on it, I believe he bore the cross the whole way. That word after means from behind. When you begin to look that word up in the Greek, that word after means from behind. Now, I don't know for sure this morning, but what I will say is that there was a man by the name of Simon for Cyrene, and as far as I can tell, that was a great distance from there, from Jerusalem. From over around the edge of Africa, the way I understand it. He was a man from a far country. And he come up behind Jesus. They compelled him to take the cross. I believe in all of my heart this morning as Jesus made his way to Golgotha. Now there's some people that say, well, Jesus couldn't bear the load. He couldn't bear the load all the way. He collapsed under the load. Simon had to come under him and take up the cross and to carry it. I want you to know this morning, everything that Jesus did, he did perfectly. He done it just exactly to the will and the nature that God would have him to do. And I believe in my heart this morning that Jesus Christ bore the cross all the way to Calvary. I believe this man, Simon, came in behind him and helped him carry the load. And my friend, that's a perfect picture of the church. It's not our cross to bear. It's his cross. He's the one that died for mankind. He's the one that made the sacrifice. He's the one that died for me and for you. But yet, my friend, we come behind him and help pack the load. I feel like I ain't doing a real good picture of painting this morning. This man, oftentimes in our life, we get to thinking about what direction it is to go. This week, as we was there with the boys, began to think about, we went on a little trail hike with them through the woods over there at that camp. And they wanted to go hiking. We started through the woods. And even though I was raised up a Boy Scout, I still get turned and twisted around, you know. I looked over there at them boys. I said, y'all know how to tell where you're at on a trail? Trying to teach them a little something. They said, no. I said, you see them markers there on them trees? And they had markers. Yellow painted on one side of the tree, green painted on the other side of the tree. Began to think about that. Began to think about in this life that we're living, that there is an example, there is a road map for us. And Jesus Christ is the one pointing and leading the way. I thought about over there what he said in the Gospel of John. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe ye in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas said, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. In this life, we are faced with challenges. We are faced with hardships. I want you to know this morning that it is oftentimes a pilgrimage. It's things that we must endure. But I want you to know that as Jesus said, to take up the cross and follow after me. To take up the cross. Jesus bore the cross at Calvary. And it is our responsibility as the Lord's church to come up from behind Him and to help Him bear the cross, to help Him lift it up for the world to see. Now, I realize this morning that the cross is symbolic, but I want you to know this morning that I love the story of the old rugged cross. My friend, this morning I love, and it's never grown old to me, to know that we've got a Savior who went to all the furthest links of everything, that He suffered all those things. He was placed upon the cross, that nails was driven in His hands and in His feet, and He was hoisted up for the world to say, here it is, the King of the Jews. This morning, I want you to know that He certainly is the King of the Jews, but not only is He the King of the Jews, He's the King of the world. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus bore the cross. He wants us to take up the cross and to follow after Him. How is it that we do that? There's a whole lot of people in the world today that maybe go behind and try to pick up the hind quarter. Or maybe they try to pick up the cross all on their own. Without God's help, we can't do nothing. It's too heavy. When it seems like things in this world get too heavy, go to the one that's bore it all. Go to the one that can help us. Go to the one that wants to give us direction. This man, Simon, there's not a whole lot mentioned about him in the Scripture, best I can tell you. And there's some that may differ on opinion on this. I ain't saying you got to believe what I'm telling you. Go study it out for yourself. But I believe, people say, woe to that. What's a man who says, I believe? I'll tell you this. I think the Scripture points to me that he bared his cross. And I believe he bore it all away. Can you imagine the pressure that he was under? As he lay there, and they had him stretched out on that cross, and they began to drive those nails in his hands, and they began to drive those nails in his feet. It never does tell me that he let out one moan. Me and them boys yesterday, one of them had shorts on. We kind of got in a little bit of briar thicket. And they said, oh, them briars, I wished I had breeches on. You ever been stuck by a rose bush or something like that? Boy, they hurt, don't they? They took him and laid him down.
And they drove them nails in his hands and in his feet. They offered him vinegar mixed with gall, which would help to ease the pain a little bit. He said, I don't want it. He suffered it all for me and for you. And as he hung there for the world to see, struggling to breathe, the skin on his back ripped to shreds where they had whipped him. And the best way that I can understand it, and I may make a mess of this, Doc, but the best way I can understand it, he was suffocating because of the fluid. And every time that he needed a breath, he'd have to push up. And his old back sitting there grinding up on that old cross. They talk about it being a rugged cross. It wasn't like this wood here. It wasn't like that. It didn't have a veneer. It wasn't polished. You ever been in an old rough cut barn and that wood? It's rough cut. It's splintered up. I'm telling you that your Savior, Jesus Christ, loves you more than you can imagine. I suppose this morning, if that had been me, there'd been no way. If I'd stretched my hands out there and they started driving nails in my hands, well, I'd hollered out the awfulest thing you could have heard in your life. But not him. That's love. And as he hung there for the world to see, as he hung there, he bore the sin of mankind. Everything that I've ever done throughout my life, every time that I have failed him, every time I've let him down, everything that I don't want anybody else in the world to know about, he took every bit of that sin upon. This morning, I'm done. But I want you to know, church, it's our responsibility to come behind him and to try to lift it up. Hoist it up for the world to see. Hoist him up. Bear your portion of the cross. Take up the cross daily. And follow after me. I'll say this. That oftentimes in this world, that there's going to be challenges and things that you're going to face, and there's going to be hardships. And you're going to need a friend. You're going to need somebody you can go to. You're going to need somebody that you can pray to. And he wants to save you more than anything else in the world today. Come this morning and might you humble yourself before the Lord. Might you seek him out this morning. Might you come and experience what it is to have a joy that's in your heart. I'm thankful to know this morning that I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God.
But I'm thankful to know that there's a peace in my heart. I'm thankful to know that I had a Savior that went all the way for me. And He went all the way for you. And He come out of that tomb, and He's alive today. That's our week message this morning. Stand and have us a song. Church, follow the Spirit of the Lord this morning for something that you need to do.